Well, good morning. Waited for 5 years for that. Again, this gathering of Cross of Dubai, I'm Alvin Litonwa. Just like to remind you, na meron po tayong sermon card. Okay? For those of you, this is the first time you've seen a sermon card. Sermon card, okay? This means we record or we print a quarterly sermon series natin for the last quarter or quarter four. Nandito po nakalista lahat yung mga sermons na i-preach for the next 3 months. So I encourage you to look it up, read, be excited, kasi maganda po yung topics na nakita po natin sa Bible. We encourage you to keep this as a bookmarker sa inyong Bible and read ahead before coming to church. Are you a city person? Well, I am a city person. I like the busyness city. I like yung loudness ng city. I love yung fast-paced culture ng city. And I love to be with many people. That's why, years ago, nung we were planning to move into Dubai, a global city, super excited ako. Expressing that kay Dayan. Now, pagdating namin sa Dubai, was really exciting. Knowing na this will be somehow similar sa mga nakasanayan kong cities sa past. Pero, a few months into Dubai, I discovered something na hindi pa experienced before. And that is culture shock. Culture shock po. I didn't know how to respond sa the ways this country or this city was system dito. I didn't know how to respond. Think po sa languages, diverse language, diverse culture, yung sistema iba, the way people communicate, negotiate. I was at first having a hard time communicating the way I want, the usually I used to communicate. So kasi hindi ako sanay doon, hindi ako tiga doon. Okay? But similarly, in a spiritual realm, how should godly people live in a godless city? How should Christians in a fallen city, in a fallen community, in a fallen world, should live? Yun po yung titignan po natin ngayon araw na ito as we look at Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 1 hanggang 14. It is printed in your bulletins, or you can look up the screen as we walk through the passage. Now, as you go there, bigyan ko kayo ng konting background. Kwentuhan ko kayo ng background. Simula natin ang story when God delivered Israel from slavery sa Egypt. God led them to a land that is lush and beautiful. Instead of worshiping God, Israelites worshipped idols, images made by men, and this angered God. God does not share His glory to anything or anyone. God punished them by sending the dominant military power called Babylon. Na pinamumunuan ni King Nebuchadnezzar. Pinangunahan niya ito para sakupin ang Jerusalem. They had destroyed the city of Jerusalem, the walls, the temple. They killed many people and carried a vast majority of the best and the brightest ng Judah. Kasama po rin si Daniel at ang kanyang mga kaibigan. Mga young people who are practicing. Sinama po lahat yan para paglingkuran si Haring Nebuchadnezzar. Pagkalipas ng ilang taon, Israel resisted Babylon's rule. Kaya nagpadala ulit ng army si Nebuchadnezzar para sakupin sila for the second time. At syempre, tinalo po sila. This time, they brought with them Jerusalem's ruling elite. Lahat ng mga professional classes sinama. Skilled workers, mga leaders, court officials, mga royals, prophets and priests. Lahat po ay, lahat sila ay dinala in exile sa Babylon. Ginawa ni Nebuchadnezzar ito para patirahin sila doon at pagkalipas ng two generations, they would lose their identity and lose their distinctive beliefs sa time na yon. Ang tawag ko dyan ay cultural assimilation. Para mahinto na ang pag-assist nila sa military domination against Babylon. Alam na mga Diyos yung plano ng mga Babylonians. Kaya ginawa nila ay nanatili sila outside the city. At doon sila nanirahan, sinabihan sila ng kanilang mga prophets na pagkalipas ng 2 taon ay makakabalik daw sila sa Jerusalem. So hindi ho sila pumunta sa looban ng city, they stayed outside. Babylon pa rin pero sa bandang labas. And God sends them a letter through the prophet Jeremiah and informs them 4 shocking things. 4 shocking things sa kanilang kalagayan. 4 shocking things patungkol sa kanilang kalagayan. At yun po yung points natin ngayon. Una, sinabi, surrender to God's sovereign will. Surrender to God's sovereign will. Number 2, they should settle the city. Should settle the city. 3rd, they should seek the peace of the city. Is this working? Give me a wired mic that might work. Kasi yung special number. Number na lang, hindi na special pag galing sa akin. And 4th, they should set their hopes in God's promise. God's people should live their lives in light of eternity for God's glory. God's people should live their lives in light of eternity for God's glory. Number 1, the first shocking truth. They should surrender to God's sovereign will. They should surrender to God's sovereign will. Para sa mga mata ng Israelites, ang trahedyang ito ay nangyari dahil sa kagagawaan ng mga Babylonians. Dahil kay Nebuchadnezzar. Tingnan niyo sa verse 1. Though these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles and to the priests and prophets and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Yan ang tingin nila. Kaya galit na galit sila sa mga Babylonians. Ngunit sa mga mata ng propetang Jeremiah, there's a much greater power involved sa pangyayaring ito. This was God's doing. This was God's doing. Look at verse 4. Thus say the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Verse 7, I have sent you into exile. So sino ba talaga? Babylonians o Diyos? Maramang siguro nung narinig ng mga Israelites ito, nagunintang sila nung narinig ito. Dahil naniniwala sila na hindi magagawa ng Panginoon ito. Kasi sila ang chosen nation. God has given them favor. This seems quite opposite of God's plan sa kanila. Pero Pero dapat hindi rin dapat kagulat-gulat ito sa kanila eh. Dahil ilang taon na silang warningan ni Jeremiah. Ilang taon na. Makikita po yan sa Jeremiah chapter 1 verse hanggang 24. Na kung hindi sila magsisisi, God will judge them by sending their enemy from the north. Pero hindi pa din sila naniwala. At nung nangyari na nga ito, hindi pa din sila makapaniwala. It was God who brought judgment sa kanila through Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is God's servant. He did God's bidding. This was God's doing. But know na kahit gaano kagulo, kasakit at ka-out of control ang pangyayari, this was not out of God's control or purposes. This is under God's divine providence. They were made exiles according sa sovereign will ng Panginoon. And they need to understand this. They need to accept this. They must surrender their wills to God. Mga kaibigan, totoo din ito sa bawat isa sa atin sa kwarto na ito. Maaring kayo ay nakaharap sa isang trahedya. Sakuna, pagsubok, o paghihirap na pinagdadaanan mo at ng iyong pamilya. At hindi mo maunawaan kung bakit nangyayari ito sa inyo. Friends, understand that God not only knows about your situation, but ordained, decreed, that it would happen the way it had happened. Because He is sovereign. Hindi ko po binanggit ang katotohanan ito para i-discourage or lituhin po tayo ngayong umaga. My intention is to comfort you. To comfort you with the fact that there is a good God who is in control of your situation. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that He will use all things for our good. Never did God mention, or the Apostle Paul, that all things will be good. But all things work together for good, for our good, for His glory. Ito ang dapat natin panghawakan in bad or tough times. Maring hindi natin nauunawaan ang lahat na nangyayari, but we can trust that He has a purpose and the purpose is good. We must surrender to God's will. Surrendering to God's will, God's sovereign will, means submitting to His will. Bending our wills toward His. And accepting His plan for our lives. Kung kinagulat nila that God was the one responsible sa kanilang pag-exile, mas kinagulat nila ang instructions na binigay ni Jeremiah na galing sa Panginoon sa gagawin nila. Number 2, settle in the city. Verse 4-6. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. This probably shocked them even more. Inaasahan marahil nila na sasabihin ng Panginoon, kaunting panahon na lang mga anak at uuwi na kayo papuntang Jerusalem. Yun ang inaasahan nila. Ngunit sa kinadismaya nila, sinabi ng Panginoon na imbis na manirahan sila sa mga tents outside ng city of Babylon at mag-antay sa wala, they are to una, live a normal life with the enemy sa city. They are to live a normal life with the enemy. Kagulat-gulat ito, aside sa ito ang mga taong sumakop sa kanila, they're also susceptible for discrimination at pangbubuli ng mga Babylonians pag sila'y nag-reside doon. They will not be treated fairly. Second, they were also shocked dahil all the while, ang mga prophecies na sinasabi sa kanila ng kanilang mga prophets ay kabaliktaran sa sinasabi ng Panginoon. Look at verse 8 and 9. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declared the Lord. God is saying, huwag kayong magpapapaniwala sa mga sinungaling na yan. Wala akong sinasabing ganyan. Wala sa kasulatan ko yan. Wala akong pinapadala na ganyang instructions. Dahil sa kanilang malalim na kagustuhan. Ito yung problema, no? Let me back up a little bit. Ito ang problema sa mga Israelites. Ang problema din kasi sa mga Israelites, na ito, gustong-gusto nila madinig ang mga ganitong klaseng prophecies. Gustong-gusto nilang madinig yung mga ganyang klaseng kwento. Bakit? Kasi may malalim silang kagustuhan na makabalik sa Jerusalem. They enjoy listening to false promises, false hopes, false prosperity. Kahit wala naman sinasabi ang Panginoon, it doesn't matter, give us lies. Tell me something good. Just a side note, this should somehow serve as a warning sa atin na mag-iingat sa pakikinig o pag-follow or even pag-post sa mga online sermons of preachers na nagsasabing sila daw ay naka-receive ng special word na galing sa Panginoon na dapat nating sundin. Be careful. Be careful of people who would say, God has given me a special word for you today. This is what the Lord said to me for you. Friends, God has given us His word, and that is the Bible. The complete and final revelation of God's word towards man. It is profitable for preaching and teaching and rebuking, correcting in righteousness, so that a man of God may be thoroughly equipped in every good work. We look to the Word for God's instruction. Paul warns Timothy sa pagkakaroon ng ganitong klaseng puso at mga mangangaral. And we must be careful sa pakikinig mga ito kasi minsan gusto po natin makinig ng mga ganong klaseng sermon. We need to evaluate yung ating mga puso. Gusto lang natin madinig ay mga feel-good messages, mga happy, pang-good vibes. Yun ang mga gusto kong marinig, Pastor. Yung mapapatawa kami lagi. Kahit wala naman sinasabi sa Bible, okay lang yun, basta nakakatawa. Kung ganyan po, malalayo po kayo sa katotohanan ng salita ng Diyos. Paul gives us warns Timothy sa pagkakaroon ng ganitong klaseng puso and at the same time sa mga ganong klaseng mangangaral. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 to 4, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. So mali ang sinasabi ng mga propeta nila na malapit na silang bumalik sa Jerusalem. Instead, God said talagang sila, tatagal sila sa Babylon. Actually, aabutin po sila ng 70 years sa Babylon. Nandiyan po yan sa verse 10. That's 2 to 3 generations. Ganun po katagal. Kaya ang instructions to build, plant, marry, have children, have grandchildren. Binigay ng Panginoon para sila tumira sa Babylon, maging residente doon, magtrabaho kayo roon, magpakasal kayo, at magtayo ng pamilya and live productive lives. Ang instruction to multiply should encourage yung mga Israelites. Why? Because it would remind them of the creation mandate ng Genesis chapter 1. Na God commanded for them to go and multiply and God will bless. This should also encourage them because it's a reminder sa Exodus chapter 1 na kapag patuloy silang dumami sa foreign land ng Babylon, gaya ng pagdami ng mga Israelites nung nakatira sila sa Goshen, Egypt, the Lord will also bless them and then set them free. They are to make Babylon their new home. Not their permanent home, but their present home. Now, hindi po ito madali para sa kanila. Kasi Babylon for them was a strange and scary place. Maku-culture shock po sila ron. That is even the least na pwede nilang ma-experience. Yung landscaping doon, iba, language, skin tone ng mga tao, clothing, sights, scent, and even sounds they were not used to. Plus, yung probably yung treatment na ibibigay sa kanila ng mga taga-Babylonia. Pero kailangan nilang mag-adapt. Kailangan nilang mag-adjust sa life ng Babylon. But not assimilate, not adopt the values of the culture in the city. Yun ang instructions. They still need to remain as God's people. Gaya nila Daniel at ng kanyang tatlong kaibigan. Sila ang first batch na mga na-exile sa Babylon. Sa Daniel chapter 1, they accepted Babylonian culture, names, Babylonian education and jobs. They accepted and adapted to the city where God has placed them, pero hindi sila nag-assimilate at nanatili silang faithful sa Panginoon. And we are familiar with this story. So God instructs the Israelites, huwag silang maging turista sa Babylon. Huwag kayong maging turista. He wants them to be part, as some would call, yung social at economic fabric ng city. Now, how does this relate sa atin? Hindi naman tayo literally mga exiles, di ba? O hindi nga ba? Tama po. At maaaring hindi tayo pamilyar sa salitang exile. Pero baka mas pamilyar tayo sa kalapit niyang term na expat or expatriate. Ang expat is a person who temporarily resides in a foreign country, typically for work purposes, and later returns to their home country. That's an expat. So tayo mga mananampalataya are sovereignly placed by God in this city of Dubai as expats in two different ways. Una, we are literally expats. We are literally expats sa bansang ito. Lahat tayong OFW dito sa Dubai ay mga expats. Maaring nakalagay ang visa natin, permanent resident visa, pero ang nakalagay pa rin sa citizenship natin, sa ating passport, ay Pilipino. Check nyo, baka nag-dual citizenship kayo, o diba? Well, actually, o diba? Pero that's the truth, diba? Na kahit mabilis tayong naka-adapt at adjust sa weather ng Dubai, sa diverse languages ng Dubai, sa mga different accents, work ethics, school, pagkain at kultura ng Dubai, Pinoy na Pinoy pa din tayo. Pinoy na Pinoy pa din tayo in the way we think, in the way we speak and act. Gusto pa din natin tuyo, pulang itlog at sinangag sa agahan. Ang lakas pa din natin magmerienda. Hindi po ba? Pati ang bidyoke, dinala na natin dito. At naghihiraman pa. ang simula ng Pasko natin ay pa din. Yung iba may Christmas tree all year round. Kahit anong gawin natin at kahit gaano tayo na-expose sa mga iba't ibang lahi, mahihiyain pa rin tayo. We are still resilient people. Meaning sa kalagitnaan ng trahedya, sakuna at bagyo ng buhay, we still manage to smile, crack jokes, and even take selfies. I see that most of the time, kapag may lamay, naka-selfie. Sa pangalawang paraan, sa New Testament, tinawag ang lahat ng mga Christians, exiles. Exiles. Ang Greek word na exile means resident alien, or foreigner, or expat. 1 Peter chapter 1, James chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 11 address Christians as exiles. This means na lahat ng mga tunay na Kristiyano ay exiles, foreigners, or expats sa mundong ito. Friends, we were once enemies of God. Bakit tayo biglang naging exiles? Kasi hindi na tayo taga dito. Iniba na ang citizenship ng mga mananampalataya ng Panginoon Jesucristo. Iba kesa dati. Ano ba ang dati? We were once enemies of God and deserved to be judged toward eternal suffering. But God did not treat us as our sins deserved, sent His Son, Jesus, who lived the life that none of us could and died the death that we deserved. Through Christ's atoning sacrifice on the cross, we were redeemed, restored, and reconciled to God the Father. We are no longer enemies, but friends, children of God. Colossians 1:21-22. Dati kayo'y malayo sa Diyos at naging kaaway niya dahil sa inyong paggawa at pag-iisip ng masasama. Ngunit naging tao ang anak ng Diyos at sa pamamagitan ng kanyang pagkamatay ay pinagkasundo kayo sa Diyos. Nang sa gayon ay maiharap niya kayong banal, walang kapintasan at walang dungis. Hindi na po tayo kaaway ng Diyos. Those who repent from their sins, place their faith in Christ's work on the cross, finished work on the cross, will be saved. He has given us new life, a new identity, new purpose, new citizenship. Hindi na tayo taga dito. Taga langit na tayo. Taga kaharian na tayo ng Diyos. That's our city, God's city. We are now citizens of heaven, and one day when Christ returns, He will transform our whole being into its glorious state and bring us to our real home. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 to 21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. So how do we see this applied as Christians? Well, bilang mga expats sa Dubai, at sa mundo na ito, unang-una bilang expat sa city ng Dubai, live here. Live here. Pastor, you're kind of stating the obvious. Let me clarify that. I challenge us na wag lang natin isipin na nandito tayo para lang magbayad ng utang. Para mag-ipon at mapatayo natin yung pangalawang mansyon natin sa Pilipinas. Na nandito tayo para makagraduate lang si Junior. Dahil nagpapadala kami. Na nandito kami para tumulong sa pamilya sa Pinas, tapos uuwi na. I mean, these things are not wrong in itself. Kung ang purpose mo lang kung nandito ka is pera, you're missing out on what God is doing in this city. Big time. according to the late, and I would add great, Pastor Timothy Keller. Cities are exploding everywhere in the world, as some of us realize. According to research, across the world, 5 million people a month are moving from the countryside to the city. Nagluluwasan lahat sa probinsya papunta ho sa syudad. Ayon sa isang article sa Gulf, 100,000 people moved to Dubai over the past 12 months. Over the past 1 year lang, 100,000 na po. Nadagdagan ng 100,000 ang population ng Dubai. At sabi naman sa Dubai Statistics Center ng 2023, umabot na ng 88,766 ang tinaas ng population natin this year alone. Ang mga Pinoy sa Dubai represents the 21.3% of the population ng Dubai. That's amazing. That is a significant number. The UAE is the second largest employer of Philippine expats. At ang Deira and its neighboring communities are heavily populated by people who look like us, who cook tuyo like us, na naaamoy na naggigisa ng bagoong sa umaga. So what's my point? If people are thronging into the cities, there should be more Christians in churches in the cities and communities. And let me echo what I've said earlier. If you're here just for the money, siguro kailangan mong i-recalibrate yung mga plans ninyong pamilya. Pag-isipan po ninyo. Again, Tim Keller, if you are in a city or a community that is broken, where people are burned out or spiritually lost, stay as long as you can. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to you and me. Dubai ang isa sa mga growing and thriving na city sa buong mundo, where we are surrounded by 200 different nationalities. Of course, this is a preaching not just to reach Filipinos, but the nations. Again, Pastor Tim, if people are moving to the cities and Christians are not going to where God is leading the people, that's not right. That's not right. Why? Kasi kung nasaan ang tao, nandun ang gospel opportunity. So friends, don't just stay in the city of Dubai for the money, tapos aalis na tayo. I know Dubai is a very transient emirate where people move all the time at minsan for good reasons. But I challenge you, live here. Live here. Get married here. Amen, singles? Plug in ko, meron kayong singles. Next week ba yan? Next week. Saturday. Rove. Get married here. Of course, I'm not just saying all singles should be married. That would be wrong. Some are called to be blessed single. Praise God. Mas magagamit kayo dito sa Dubai. Get married, raise up your children here, and live productive and fruitful lives. And we do this to advance the gospel. All of this is for the advancement of the gospel to the glory of God. That's what we're trying to do. You are in a strategic emirate, strategic city, strategic location where we are at the center, heart of Deira, old Dubai. If God blessed this place atin for us to live, then let us steward this opportunity well and faithfully. It's not about the money, it's not about career advancement, it's about the advancement of the kingdom of God. Bilang mga expats naman sa mundong ito, we should not assimilate, adopt, or conform to the value system of this fallen world. Paul reminds us of this at first. Peter reminds us of this at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. We should not be influenced by the corrupt system and values of this world, but we are to be salt and light to them. We should be, if I may call this, noticeably different. We should be noticeably different in a godly way, if I may add. We should live our lives as ambassadors of Christ. Mga kaibigan, ang inaasal mo ba kapag ikaw ay nasa iglesia ay katulad kapag ikaw ay nasa opisina? O kapag may kasama kang iba? Napapansin at napapansin at sinasabi ba nila na mayroon kang pagkakaiba? O baka naman ang sinasabi nila ay wala palang pagkakaiba? Third thing that shocked them, seek the peace of the city. Seek the peace of the city. Verse 7. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you to exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in it its welfare you will find your welfare. They are to seek and pray for the welfare ng city. Ang Hebrew word na welfare is, I think most of us are familiar with this, shalom, which literally means peace. It's more than a greetings na ginagawa ng mga Israelites. It's yung word na shalom is rich. It's a rich word that means whole, thriving, prospering, and flourishing. So in short, God, through the writings of Jeremiah, wants exiled Israelites to pray and help the city flourish and prosper. Aba, mas mabigat po yun. Una, pinatira lang. Ngayon, dapat isasasagana ng bansang ito. Yung mga talento, yung mga skills namin, i-contribute namin sa bansa na ito, na sumakop sa amin. Na-imagine ko na po na nagpo-protesta sa galit ang mga Israelites nung binabasa sa kanila itong letter na to. I could imagine. Kasi para sa mga Israelites, isa lang ang city na pinagpe-pray nila na magkaroon ng peace and prosperity. Isa lang. And that is Jerusalem. At makikita ito. At makikita ito sa Psalm 122. That they would recite, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. This is kind of appropriate, isn't it? That we should pray for the peace currently of Jerusalem. We should pray for Christians, strong Christians on both sides would thrive and be bold and to share the gospel amidst of this war that they are facing. Kung meron man silang pinagpe-pray sa Babylon, ay yung destruction nito. You want us to pray? Then we'll pray destruction. Actually, gumawa sila ng hymn na kinakanta nila para sa Babylon. Gusto niyo marinig yung hymn? Ito yung kinakanta nila. Psalm 137, 8 to 9. O daughter of Babylon, doomed to be destroyed, blessed shall he be who repays you with what you have done to us. Blessed shall he be who takes your little ones and dashes them against the rock. Medyo marahasan, no? They're not praying for the peace of Babylon. That's what they're praying. That's what they're singing. That's what their desires para sa Babylon. Ito ang anger at hatred na nararamdaman nila sa kanila. Kasi hindi madali ang pinagdadaanan nila. Kasi you cannot pray for the peace of Babylon without loving Babylon. These people are their enemies. Sariwa pa sa mga isipan po nila kung paano winasak ang kanilang city. Kung paano pinaslang ang mga mahal nila sa buhay sa harapan nila. Kung paano sila kinaladkad papunta ko sa Babylon. Sariwa pa ho yun sa kanila. And then pray for the peace of the city? Ito marahil ang pinakamalapit na Old Testament passage na sinabi ni Jesus Christ to people who felt like exiles under the dominance ng Rome. Matthew 5, verse 44. Ito ang sinabi ni Jesus Christ sa kanyang disciples. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. To those of us who've been hurt by other people deeply, we know this is not easy. If that is you, I'm sorry. But if you want to have a deeper study of this, starting next week, we have a 3-week series about forgiveness and reconciliation as we look at Philemon. Invite your friends. Invite someone. If this is going to be beneficial, then invite your friends to Crossroads for the coming weeks and even more weeks to come. Again, my question, paano natin i-apply ito? Well, obviously, ibang situation natin, di ba? Ibang situation ng mga Israelites sa panahon natin ngayon. Pero gusto ko lang klaruhin na hindi mission ng local church to seek the peace and prosperity of the church, of the city. It is not the mission of local church to seek the peace and prosperity of the city. Teka, parang contradicting yung sinasabi mo. Yes, kasi isa lang po ang mission ng church. And ang mission ng church is the Great Commission. Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's why we come and open God's Word, so that we would make disciples, share the gospel, so that in this city, worshipers of Yahweh will be added. That's the mission in church. But as the church scatters, as individual Christian that scatters, we're scattered every week. Sa work, sa school, sa bahay, sa food court, sa mall, sa parking lot. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, we must seek to do good in our city or in our communities. We do that by obeying the law. How many red lights have we run na nanilagpasan? Obeying the law, being an excellent or hard-working employee, hindi tatamad-tamad. By being a responsible student, by being a contributor to the society, even as simple as picking rubbish sa floor. Seek the peace and prosperity in the city as gospel bearers. This is why we are praying to start more outreach Bible studies here in Dera and nearby cities, not just to share the good news of hope of the gospel, but also to help them. Help them see the city na hindi lang isang malaking lugar na para pagkitaan ng pera. But to love this city and to serve this city. We pray that we would come to they would come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 16, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We must adorn the gospel. We must live lives that make Christ look attractive and satisfying. We must also pray for our community. We must pray for our city. We must pray for our country. Pray for our leaders. That's why yun yung narinig natin kay Pastor John kanina. He pray for Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, the Emir of Dubai. We want to be praying for our leaders. We want to be praying for our professionals. We want to be praying for our servers. Pray for the people of this country. We pray that the Lord would prosper the Emirates under the leadership ng mga emir na kung saan namamahala dito. Because kapag naging prosperous sila, we also prosper. But more than good citizens in our cities or communities, we are to be marked in our city as people of hope, which is yung last part po natin. Set your hope in God's promise. 10-14. For thus say the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to welfare and not for evil, to give a future and a hope. So verse 10, sinabi ng Panginoon kung gaano katagal sila maninirahan sa Babylon. And how many years? 70 years. Maaring na-discouraged sila. Sabi sa'yo, nakakasyaklat sa kanila itong mga points na ito. Ha! 70 years? E 40 na ako! Okay, I'm 45. Hindi 40, hindi I'm 40. Isipin mo, 70 years? Now, according sa Psalm chapter 95, Psalm chapter 90, ilang taon lang ang inaabot ng tao? 70 years! 70 or to 80 years. So in short, karamihan sa kanarita na nakakarinig ng letter na ito, mamamatay pagdating ng panahon na yon. So this is not an encouraging letter. Pinatira mo kami, pinagpe-pray mo kami, tapos maibaging blessing kami sa syudad. Ngayon, hindi kami makakasurvive once na darating na yung pangako na isasakatuparan mo. But this should also give them hope. I'll tell you why. For God promised that there is an end to their sufferings. And He promised them restoration. He promised them their home. At ito po ang context ng well-loved, famous verse of Jeremiah 29:11. Na marahil na nakadikit sa picture frame ng bahay ninyo, na marahil nandyan niya na nakapost sa wall ng Facebook ninyo. I just want you to know, this is how dark yung context nito. Akalain natin mga verses na ito. Some of us use these verses kasi nakakala po natin na ito yung mga pangako na hindi tayo dadaan sa kahirapan. Ano? Oh, tama yan. The plans I have, sabi ni Lord, so hindi kami maghihirap, samantalang ibinigay ito to people who were walking through suffering in a foreign city. So hindi pwedeng, pag nirecite ko to, wala akong problema, purong-puno ng problema yung binigay ng Panginoon ng verse na to. Or maybe, well, we thought na once we claim itong verse na ito, mawawala lahat ang paghihirap natin. Samantalang yung promise ng restoration nito, abutin ng 70 years. So ibig sabihin ba, Pastor, wag ko i-quote ito, kung gamitin ito. No, I'm not saying that. Use it. Gamitin ninyo. That's a good verse. As long as naunawaan natin ang immediate context at ang pagkakaunawa natin, kailangan iklaro lang natin na yung pagkakaunawa natin na yung plans to prosper you, pag nakita po natin, hindi ibig sabihin niyan yayaman ka. O magiging malusog ka. Healthy, happy, health, wealth, and prosperity. Hindi po yun ang ibig sabihin nun. Shalom. Verse 12 to 13 is a picture of Israel's repentance. Pagkatapos ng 70 years of suffering in exile, they would then see the sinfulness of their sins, their rebellion against God, and they were turned to call out to God for repentance and mercy. As if saying, they would call upon God now. Pray to God now. God would hear them now. Bakit? Kasi anong storya nito? Rebelde itong mga ito eh. Hindi tumatawag sa Panginoon to. Pero after the 70 years, guess what God did sa kanilang mga hearts? He humbled them. In the midst of a confusing situation and magulong city, they have experienced the mercy and peace, the shalom ng Panginoon. This is God's wonderful promise to His covenant people, Israel. May hangganan ang kanilang suffering at manunumbalik sila sa Panginoon, and He will restore them. He will bring them back to their homeland. They must persevere and trust God's promise sa 70 years na yan. That means kailangan nila i-disciple ang kanilang anak sa mga katotohanan ito. How many years ang plano mo rito sa Dubai? Are we pouring into our children? Are we discipling them with His promises? Promises that would give them hope. Promises that they would lead them to Christ. You must persevere and trust God's promise. Verse 14, I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. Wala kayo napapansin sa verse na ito? I will do it. It's a good intro at saka huli to start this passage. I am the sovereign God who caused this calamity sa inyo. I will be the God who will restore you. Wonderful. This means the God who saved you by grace will continue to sustain you by His grace in the midst ng pinagdadaanan ninyo ngayon in this city. So maganda ang ending ng Israel, pero masama ang ending para sa Babylon. Kasi pagdating ng chapter 50 at pagdating ng chapter 51, God will judge and destroy Babylon. So again, what can we learn from this? And this will be our last point, sub-points. Una, as we are called to a fallen city, there is a call for patient trust in the Lord. Patient trust in the Lord. It's not easy in a fallen city, hindi po ba? In a fallen world, there's corruption, there's deceit, there's betrayal, there's sickness, there's death. We are tempted to sin. We fell into sin. We have fallen into sin. We are surrounded by non-Christians and circumstances that will test our faith. As faithful Christians, we will be mocked, we will be ridiculed, we will be abused, we will tatanggalan tayo ng trabaho. Hindi tayo ipopromote. Hindi tayong sikat sa community because of our faith. Hindi madali to serve in a fallen city, to live. Ang mga Israelites waited for 70 years before their suffering in the city end. And honestly, minsan, pakiramdam natin, gusto natin, within 70 seconds, wala na yung mga problema natin. Possible ba, Pastor? Possible ba na wakasan na ng Panginoon ang pinagdadaanan namin pighati at paghihirap? Yes, possible po yun. And it is not wrong to pray for it. But, there's no guarantee. We should trust the Lord. Again, Keller said, God's silence doesn't mean or does not equate His absence. Next, we are not alone in our suffering. We're not alone. May pinagdadaanan ka, hindi ka nag-iisa. We are in God's caring hands. And He will bring us through our suffering. Bring us through our suffering. Which means God will give us sufficient grace, sufficient strength, sufficient wisdom as we go through ito mga kabigatan na ito. We need to trust the Lord. We need to trust the Lord will take us through. You're not alone because God is there. I will never leave you nor forsake you. But if you are in a city as globally diverse as Dubai, as busy as Dubai, you need a community of people who loves the Lord. You need to be committed to a people na alam mo na may takot sa Diyos. And here's the beauty about cities, churches. Crossroads Church Dubai is here to serve you. To serve you by giving you the hope that you need to hear, not the message that you want to hear. And the hope is, there is peace between God and men through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our shalom. Hindi tayo tiga dito sa city na ito. Sorry, I move ahead. Let me go to the third sub-point, which is the last one. This first sub-point is we are called to a fallen city of for patient trust. I'm sorry, called to this fallen city for patient trust in the Lord. Second, we are not alone in our suffering. Third, this world and all of its sufferings and joys is not our home. This is not our home. Hindi kayo taga dito, mga Kristiyano. Hindi kayo taga dito. I love living in Dubai. I love ministering in Dubai. But Dubai is not my permanent home. As much as ang Pilipinas ay hindi ang aking permanent home. And this is also true sa mga Christians in this room. Hindi tayo tiga dito sa city o sa mundo na ito. Not to offend you, pero alien ka. Isa kang alien. I didn't say you look like an alien. You are an alien. Hindi tayo tiga dito. Okay? We belong to a different city. A city of God. That's really a good book. I forgot to take it from Brother Carlos. Pero writings ni Agustin to the city of God. Read that book. Napakaganda ng libro po na yan. Our true permanent residence is in heaven. Is in heaven with God. And this should excite us. This should fuel our passion to serve, to advance the gospel in this city where God, for such a time as this, had placed you. Steward this opportunity faithfully. We are not going to stay here. Jesus is going to take us back to that place. That means all the suffering, all the pain, all the hardship, ay may hangganan. Yung pinagdadaanan mo, ito yung good news, may hangganan po yan. Be encouraged, the words ni Jesus when He spoke to a group of discouraged men. Ito ang encouragement ni Jesus. So John 14:1-3, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Ganda ng promise. God will take us, either cutting our life short, or sa pagbalik ng Panginoon. But that would be glorious. That would be glorious. And as we get to be in God's city, heaven, there will be no more tears, no more sorrows, no more fears, no more pain. Wala nang mataas na BP. Wala nang rayuma. Wala nang maintenance. No more sickness. No more wars. You will never be abandoned anymore. You will not be betrayed. You will never be alone or feel alone, feel lonely. No more death. No more sin. People's sin will not harm you anymore. Your sin will not harm anyone anymore. There will be true joy and satisfaction because of Christ. Sometimes we become too excited about the shalom of the city or yung, as we advance yung welfare ng bansa. Na nakakalimutan natin about the only one who can provide true eternal shalom or peace between God and man. That is Jesus Christ. May these 4 points shock you, but also encourage you. Because God's people should live their lives in light of eternity for God's glory. Let's pray. Father, we pray, Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. I pray for the saints who are here, who are going through intense suffering, persecution, hardships, and still trusting you. I pray that you would sustain them by your grace. Dalangin ko, Panginoon, na magpatuloy ang bawat isa sa amin sa pananampalataya sa inyo. Give us the gift of always believing you, trusting you. I pray, Lord, that we would be more intentional in this city na binigay niyo po sa amin to be displayed in this location. I pray that we would steward these opportunities well and faithful. We pray that you would open hearts, men and women who fear you, to boldly open their homes or flats for Bible studies, that they would teach alongside with us as we seek to advance the gospel. We pray, Panginoon, that this would not be the first and last time that we would have these people here with us. Kung loloobin ninyo, Panginoon, bring them back with friends. Not for numbers, because each one of them represents souls. Souls that we need to preach the gospel to, and souls that we need to link arms with to advance the gospel to the glory of our Jesus Christ's name. Amen.